Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast.
That's strong.
Yeah. It's a show where two guys talk about old games.
Man, that is, you're killing me over here, man. This is like crazy. I feel like we're going to bring a lot of energy for this episode. Yeah.
This week, I can do this week we're talking, continue our Ready Player One series with the game Tempest.
Now we need like the drop of like Tempest sounds.
Gravedigger jumps 18 cars. Crushing 6 infants when he lands.
It's Sunday.
Sunday. Oh, man.
One day only. Tempest.
But it is Other Shit Monday. So, yeah, Ready Player One. We're going to keep it rolling, talking about the arcade and Atari classic Tempest. Well, I'm your beard host, Tyler. And I was talking to Dave because we were both like, what are we going to talk for our intro story?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, let's do kind of a group. You and I will do together like an intro story that's also personal experience and friendship / relationship advice.
Yeah, oh, great.
You didn't really text me back a whole lot about it.
So no, I didn't. Because you sent that text to me probably an hour ago. And I was like, well, I'm probably not going to be able to come up with anything. So we'll just see what happens.
That's fine. Whatever. Because I've had like the same group of friends most of my life. And once people get added on, usually that's just it. So
I was a latecomer, though.
You were college, but it's still been like 12 years now.
I was your Setzer, I feel
there,
like.
There you go. But of course, like Ashley Shake of Fist Puncher fame, we've been best friends since like third grade. With Josh Nance of Uniracers fame since sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
With Jacob York of Wolffighting fame since I was a freshman in high school. And then you came on when I was a freshman in college.
So maybe I'm like your Mog. Maybe not Setzer.
Yeah.
Maybe Mog.
Well, see, I met you before at Apex, but I missed the chance to have you join my party then. So I had to get you a second time. So then you are Mog.
Okay, great.
There you go.
Great. I love it. I'm fine with Mog or Shadow. Yeah. Either end of the spectrum.
Yeah. And really what I've noticed while my friends always stay around, girlfriends tend to come and go. And one kind of behavior that I've always noticed. I'm guilty of it, and it frustrates me when I see it. I think most of us have figured it out now, but if your friends want you to go out and do something, and you don't feel like going for whatever reason, don't blame it on your significant other, because then everyone's going to think your significant other is awful and hate them, and it leads to way more problems.
Are you bringing this up because I didn't want to play Super Mario World with you tomorrow?
Nope. Nope. But you didn't really like blame it on Nikki. Like you didn't like, oh, she won't let me go, but no, you were honest about why you didn't want to play. And that's always totally cool. If a friend of mine is honest with me, like if they were like, I just don't want to go. I just don't feel like it. I'm going to be mad and upset for a little while, but I'll get over it.
Eventually.
when they lie and just make something up and blame it on the significant other, that's going to last way longer.
Mm.
Like the most recent.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the most recent.
Okay. All right.
That I've seen of this was.
Well, Josh was supposed to record with us last time.
Yeah, he didn't, so he gets thrown on the grill. We're just slamming Josh's face in his flat top grill right now. I think we'd all gone to see some movie, a bunch of us. Then we were going to IHOP afterward, because our movie theater and IHOP are very close to each other.
And IHOP's great.
24 hours, and it's good.
If they want to sponsor us, I'm totally okay with that. them or Taco John's.
I feel like we're closer to Taco John's.
I don't know. We kind of tweeted back and forth. Exalted Lord Mike and I kind of like tweeted at Taco John's, and they were eerily silent. I think they're done with us.
Okay. So they actually listened to the show. Okay.
They were like, I think the guy who runs Taco John's Twitter was like, I don't have any way to work any marketing into all this like diarrhea talk.
But like after the movie, we're all going to IHOP and we look over at Josh. We're like, let's go to IHOP. He just, I'd really like to go, you guys, but I can't. Nicola's making me go to this bonfire like two counties away. What, she's making you go to a bonfire at like 11 right now? You have to go to a bonfire, like drive all two counties over to this bonfire? Yeah, I really don't want to go, but it's really important to her. Okay, yeah. Well, all right, see you, Josh. So the next day, I see Nicole. I'm like, so how was that bonfire last night? She looked at me really perplexed. She's like, what bonfire? And then I'm just like, fuck, Josh. Josh, it's been so many years. We've been over this so many times. Why couldn't you just say, I'm tired. I don't really want to go eat an omelet right now.
Do you think maybe he was talking about a different Nicole?
Nope.
Maybe it was...
He could only have one friend named one name at a time. Otherwise, he just gets all confused.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. That's a good policy. That's, I use that at work sometimes. Like, I work with a guy named Tyler. I'm like, nope.
Mm-mm, sorry.
I go talk to my boss. I'm like, you need to fire this Tyler guy.
If the other one drops, then I'll let you know, but... No, sorry, we're full up.
I'm pretty sure I saw him jerking off into the water cooler. Pretty yeah, sure you
really?
Fire up. No, not really.
I was about to say, that'd be pretty... I mean, you could see that in the water cooler. Like, if you had, like, the big vat of community lotion, maybe not. But, like, you're going to see that floating in the water cooler.
Then he did the whole George Costanza thing. He was like, was that wrong? And we didn't fire him, so I don't... But now he knows.
So, like, if Josh had said... Yeah, I don't really feel like going. I would have totally forgotten it. It would not be a thing I'd be talking about right now. But because he said he was going to a bonfire two counties away, I'm going to remember that and that shitty excuse for the rest of my life. And now it's on the internet, so now it's just out there forever.
I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Did he specifically say two counties away, or did he name the county?
He named a county.
Okay, because I was going to say, that should have been a warning flag. I don't know. I got to go to a bonfire. Where is it, Josh? Two counties away.
I want to see that excuse algebra in his head. Say, one county away, that's pretty close.
That's close, they wouldn't yeah. like that. I can make it back in time.
Three counties away, that's quite a journey. We'll say two. Two counties away.
Two counties
away.
Sometimes I will plan an excuse, not sometimes. Quite frequently I'll plan an excuse like way in advance. Mm-hmm. So I can just pull it out. It's honestly, most of it's like, I mean, no one from work is listening, I'm sure. But usually it's at work.
Mm-hmm.
It's and I have a lot of time to come up with excuses because I'm frequently like 2 to 3 hours late to work. And I don't know, I haven't been fired yet, so I don't know what that's about. I say frequently, but it's like once a month, I will be straight up rolling in at 10 o'clock. I'm supposed to be there at 8. And I shower in the morning, and I can't skip that. And the worst is like when I wake up right at 8, right? Because it's like, it's 8 o'clock, shit, I'm supposed to be at work right now. Well, time to get in the shower. So then I'll just get in the shower and shower like normal. And the whole time I'm in the shower, I'm like, all right, let's plot this excuse out. Let's see what we can do. Well, I've used the dog was sick before. I've used the cat was sick before. A lot of the pets get sick, and that's my main excuse.
That's all right. That's not bad. You can't leave like shit just sitting in your house all
day. Yeah,
long.
That's disgusting.
So... But you all work in separate like offices. Everybody
yeah, we
has.
Do. Yeah, we work.
Do you have any like super close work friends that are gonna like want to talk to you as soon as you come in?
Not really.
So then probably yeah.
Not really.
They probably nobody might notice unless they needed you for something.
Honestly, no one gives a shit.
Yeah.
Like no one gives a shit. Like my boss will send me a text and be like, "Are you okay?" I'll be like, "Yeah, I'm just running late." And then it finally got to the point where it was happening so often that now I'm just honest with them. Like, I'll just walk in and be like, yeah, I don't know, man. I just didn't get out of bed. That's it.
That's fair. I mean,
and he's like, man, you need to get a better alarm clock. Yeah, I guess I do.
Your alarm clock, I've stayed the night at your apartment many times back in the day, and your alarm clock is perfectly fine.
Oh, yeah.
I would hear it from a different floor for about 30 minutes before I would go up and wake you up.
Nikki can attest to that. She actually set my alarm clock to not go off on Saturdays and Sundays because I'm like a Friday night. I'm usually this is changing. I'm changing my lifestyle. But usually be going to bed at like, I don't know, 7 in the morning. And then like my alarm be going off at 7:15. And I'm fucking dead to the world, man. And she's like on her day off, waking up at the fucking ass crack of dawn, being like, God damn it. I can turn this alarm clock off.
But I threw Josh under the bus. So now
I'm you did.
Now I've got to jump in front of that bus a block down the road. So I was guilty of this in high school with my high school girlfriend who, granted, she was like incredibly jealous and had at one point, yeah, I think I've said it before, like she told me she just wanted to keep me in a jar in her basement for just her to play with.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That's a little like American Horror Story.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, it was it wasn't a great relationship, but
it's surprising.
Surprisingly. I wouldn't want to go somewhere with them to make her upset, and I was always trying to spend more time with her. It got to where my friends were, it was a struggle between my friends and my girlfriend, keeping both of them happy, because like, her and Josh got along really well.
Yeah.
But like, her and everybody else,
Do you think, I didn't know her, because we weren't friends at the time. Do you think I would have gotten along with her?
Yeah, I think you would have been fine.
Okay, good. That makes me feel better.
Yeah. Eventually, I would just blame her like for a lot of stuff. If I didn't want to go out and do something, or if I thought it might make her upset, then like if I were to go, so then I would just tell them, no, she really wants to play Monopoly at her mom's house tonight. And, you know, can't really do anything.
It's Monopoly Monday. Yeah. What are you gonna do?
So that just added fuel to that fire of them already not liking her, to like everybody loathing her like so much. So then if she would come out with us, then it was just a nightmare all over again, because everybody's just glaring at her. She's glaring at it.
They're throwing Monopoly money at her. It's weird.
She had a pretty rocking resting bitch face. So she's just always just, if you just look over, you swear like she's really mad at you. Nicole's resting bitch face is like, she looks like she's just like, maybe she's unhappy at whatever sandwich she's looking at. My high school girlfriend looked like she was like very, very angry with everyone.
Ready to murder that sandwich.
Yeah, yeah.
When I first met you guys, and you know this, you played D&D like every night.
We just ruined all of our GPAs when we found D&D.
Like every night, to the point where I was pulling that shit. Because like I had pretty much just met you guys. Mm-hmm. And I was getting text messages on the daily. Down to play tonight? You down to play? To the point where it was like, fuck, man. I was thinking to myself, not really. And I don't really like know these guys like super well. Mm-hmm. I like them. I like them a lot. I definitely want to be friends with them. What can I do? I even asked Nikki. I was like, can I tell these guys that we got something going on? She said, yes, that's fine. She didn't know you or anybody.
They'll never meet Nikki.
No, I mean, it's just, that's what she's thinking. She's like, I'm never going to meet these guys. Well, she did. So I'm not trying to throw her under the bus. That's definitely throwing me under the bus. Because, mm-hmm. I mean,
because for a long time, I was like, man, Nikki's just like, she doesn't like Dave doing anything. And we were like, man, Nikki's just, have you ever really talked to her? No, she must just sit in her apartment and just throw demands at Dave, and he says to stay there all the time.
No, I just didn't want to play D&D every night of the week.
Yeah, I've actually, most of my life, my friends and I have always done a very spontaneous schedule, not a lot of planning.
That does not run concurrent with me, typically.
I have lost one friend who just like, I've had enough of this, I'm done, and just does not talk to anybody anymore. Won't have anything to do with us, because we would just like, last minute, like, hey, we're going to movies, hey, we're going to eat, hey, we're doing this, do you want to go? And then he just snapped over it.
That's tough. That's tough on me, because it's like, I have a hard time. Like, I like to plan things out at least like a couple hours in advance. But I also like to please. Like, I don't want to be the dude that like fucks things up for everybody. No. So I go along with a lot of things. Most of the time I want to do them.
I feel like now that we've gotten older, it's gotten a lot better than it was. But like, yeah, in college, absolutely. I ran my game every night.
Yeah.
Every night.
Yeah, you did. I mean, it was fun. A lot of fun. Mm-hmm. But it was a lot. It was a lot of gaming. I mean, that was your thing. Some people study in college. Mm-hmm. Some people drink in college.
I think when I had a 3.5 my first semester. Uh-huh. then Ramon of Super Bomberman 2 fame.
And Countdown's Corner fame.
And Countdown's Corner introduced us to D&D. And he still ran his game like once a week, maybe twice a week, but once a week. And then like once I learned how to DM, and then all people that lived with me, yeah, we gamed every night. I think I had a 0.5 my second semester.
That's still pretty good, right?
I could, yeah, academic probation, yeah, the whole spiel.
I think you and I are both kind of like that. I think you to a more severe degree, but I'm definitely like this too. Like when we get into something, we really get into something.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you've got more staying power than I do because like you really get into something and like you're committed. That like that's your thing and it's going to be your thing probably for a long time. I feel like I get really into something and then like just fizzle out within a week or two.
Like I've held on to D&D the longest out of everything.
Yeah, you've been
Final Fantasy XI was it for a while too.
Yeah, but I think Final Fantasy XI could be like under the broader umbrella of video games.
Yeah. Man, I'm so glad I don't play that game anymore.
Man,
I've got fond memories of it, but man, I'm glad I don't play it anymore.
Ready Player One, the book by Ernest Cline, a link to that Amazon.
Yeah.
That Amazon link can be found in the show notes at tadpog.com.
We'll have a link that refers you to a page. That is
right. It's just a whole bunch of links on it. Yeah. Ernest Cline's Ready Player One is going to be one of those books. If you use that link to purchase the book, we get a nickel. So use that if you want to read it. But reading Ready Player One has really made me want to play an MMO again. I might go back to WoW. Like, I'm seriously considering going back to World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
I kind of don't want to, but...
Dave, what have you been playing? World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Did you play this week's Tadpog game?
No. No. I watched a video on it. Is that fine?
Good enough.
I watched
Paul play it. So.
Yeah, I watched Paul play it, and I'm ready to talk about buttholes. Okay, let's go. I'm sorry, you're gonna have all the game detail, and I'm just gonna talk about buttholes and gooters.
That's a sad twist. We'll be changing hats for that one, but okay. You gonna talk about Tempest now?
I guess, man. This will be like the longest 3 minutes of our life.
Yep.
Before we get to calls. But, you know, someone out there might have tuned in to hear about Tempest, so.
I hope you liked our long, rambling conversation about, I thought it was okay.
I loved it. Yeah. I felt like I had a legitimate conversation with you. Yeah. I liked it.
Maybe somebody would be like, huh, okay, I'll stop doing that. Maybe Josh will listen and be like, okay, I won't do it anymore.
I'm your bespectacled host, Dave, by the way.
There you go.
Yeah, all right, we're done with intros. At like 30 minutes in, we're good.
Do you hear that, Dave?
Yeah, I do. I do. It's the sound of... It sounds like...
Yeah, I don't know what we talked about to reference. What have we previously talked about to bring back to the callback for the train? I don't know what we've done other than Josh make up stories.
Yeah.
That's that train coming from two counties away.
Yeah, I hear a bunch of excuses coming from Callaway County, sounds like. I hear like the crackling fire of lies and betrayal. And I also hear the... disapproving look from a wife that's been used as a prop in an elaborate ruse to trick beloved friends.
Yeah
I hear that. That's the Josh is probably mad at me for saying that train that leads us into the Dave Reads from Wikipedia station.
He'll get over it.
I love you, Josh. Hey, look, man, I wasn't there that night. You didn't lie to me, so we're cool. We're cool. Plus, look, I do it too, so I understand it. sometimes you just gotta lie about a bonfire, dude. But
it's good that we've reached the point where you don't do that with me anymore. You'll straight up just tell me like, nah, man, I'm tired. I don't feel like doing anything. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. And then you don't give me shit about it.
Nope.
Which is really nice. Okay, guys. Tempest, parentheses video game. Because believe it or not, there's a lot of things out there that are called Tempest or have something to do with Tempest.
It's a game. It's a play. It's one of Cyan's swords from Final Fantasy VI.
Oh, yeah. It is.
It's a gust of wind.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Tempest is a 1981 arcade game, guys, by Atari Inc. Originally designed and programmed by Dave Thurer. The game is a tube shooter. In which you ride in a tube down a river. That's a different game.
Why is it Lazy River the game for Atari? I feel like that's right up Atari's alley.
Yeah, it is. No, a tube shooter, Tyler, I'm sure you knew this, is a type of shoot 'em up where the environment is fixed and viewed from a three-dimensional perspective.
Okay.
Makes sense, kind of.
Man, you know, now that you say that, you know what's really weird? I have very recently played part of a game that was a tube shooter.
Really? What game?
Danganronpa 2. There is...
It's a tube shooter?
There is a... Because you don't shoot, you more of just maneuver.
You more just snap necks.
You maneuver in a tube. There is this one aspect of the game called logic drive.
Uh-huh.
To where the logic drive is you're in basically like a tube shooter scenario where you're on a motorcycle and you're dodging the train and jumping, going all the way around the tube. And then like options will come up like, why the murderer use this weapon? And it'll give you several options. And you have to move in the tube to the point of logic you want to go that you think. To reach a proper conclusion.
I feel like Logic Drive is a sci-fi reference, but I feel like that reference is like just outside of my grasp. Like my fingers are just kind of grazing on it.
It's there.
But
it's
there. No, I'm sorry. I'm sure someone out there probably know, like Tony.
Yep.
Or Nicole. This game, Tyler, Tempest, according to Wikipedia, fairly popular. And had several ports and sequels. The game is also notable for being one of the first video games with a selectable level of difficulty.
Hmm.
So there's that. Tempest, we're done. All right, calls.
Well, because I'd mentioned that my parents liked to play Atari when I was really young.
Right.
So last year for Christmas, I saw in Walmart the Atari emulator 50-in-1, just plug and play. I was like, my dad might actually like that. And it has looked over it and had a lot of the games he talked about. So I bought it for him. It was like $50. I gave it to him. He was excited. And I was like, okay, we'll play this together some point in time. When I went to borrow it, because I wanted to know for Adventure and for Tempest.
God, please tell me it was still in the box.
If it was, it was still. Just pristine. He had not even opened the box. It was just perfect.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to borrow this. Okay.
What is it?
Basically, because it had Adventure and Tempest on it.
He had taken a black Sharpie, a big black Sharpie, and just written junk on the side of it. I don't know. Or like it's like in a big box, like this dumpster that said, it's just labeled, stenciled on the side, gifts that I hate.
Shit my son didn't think about. That dick.
Don't worry, man. My dad's got a big old box full of shit that I didn't think about either.
Well, I guess it beats me burning him CDs for a long time.
I like to pull that move. I don't burn CDs for my dad. I bought like a few albums for like Christmas and his birthday. And it's just like, it's stuff that I think he might like. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's more stuff that I like. And I'm like, I'm going to help you be cooler, Dad.
I don't know if anything might, I mean, buying gifts for my dad, it's easier for my mom, but for my dad, it's like, I can get him all the standard dad stuff, and he's pretty pleased with that, but he's got tons of dad stuff already.
I don't think dads give a shit.
He doesn't really have any hobbies, like in the future, like, Kenna will be able to get me a video game, and I'll be really good with that.
Right.
But, like, there's nothing like that to get from my dad.
My dad's hobby is work, and I can't give him more of that. I've, like, given him as much work as I possibly can.
So for a while, my dad likes Kitchen Nightmares, and he works overnight shifts. So I would just like burn him DVD seasons of like Kitchen Nightmares and like The Practice, that shit like that he likes for him to watch when he was working over. Worked for about 6 years.
I like to think that your dad literally likes Kitchen Nightmares. Like he's brushing his teeth, getting ready to go to bed. It's like, man, I hope I have a Kitchen Nightmare tonight.
Love him. Which time you give me more?
If I have a fucking wet dream, I'm gonna be pissed because I want a kitchen nightmare. I don't want a bathroom nightmare. I want a kitchen nightmare. Isn't that's weird to think about? You ever think about your dad having a wet dream? That's fucked up. You know it's happened.
I feel like we've had that conversation before because like something on TV and he was like, "Oh, you ever had one of those?" And I'm like, "No." And I feel like he told me like he had or like the conversation is very hazy.
He's like, I'm having one right now. And then things got really like psychedelic.
I've never had it. I don't even understand the concept wet dream. Like I think from as soon as I could ejaculate, I was making myself ejaculate. Yeah. So there was no like tipping point there. I've never had one.
Yeah, it happened once for me. Yeah. And then like after that, it was like, well, I mean, I guess that could happen, or I could just do it for, I could just do it myself.
Do it and enjoy it. Right? Yeah.
So Tempest, there's tubes involved, well, much like a wet dream. There's a tube and shooting involved.
Well, that emulator is strange because it had Adventure. You know, we played Adventure on it, and then it had Tempest. And whenever we clicked on Tempest and started playing it, it was really fucking weird.
Because you're both like, really weird.
This is the game,
right?
This is what like people were like really enjoying. This is what Ernest Cline wrote about.
I know.
This thing.
I could not believe it was in Ready Player One. Even like before we, because I'm not completely finished with the book. Before we started recording, I looked at you and I was like, we're positive this is in the book, right? Because I'm really close to the end. I don't want to spoil anything. I'm really close to the end. I'm like, I must have missed the Tempest reference in the game.
Because this, what, Tempest did not come out for the 2600?
It so I didn't.
What's it's, on there is a prototype.
It's a prototype, right.
I don't know why it's on there, but it's a really, it's really bad.
It's really bad.
We put about like 30, 45 minutes into it, maybe.
We put way too much time in it.
No, it looks like a pair of underwear.
A blue pair of underwear, right?
A blue pair of underwear, and you can trace the bottom of the underwear.
Yeah, with your ship.
So it looks like a C on its upside
your C,
down.
Right? An upside down C. Yeah. Or U.
Well, it had like prongs.
All right, so it's like it's a C that got drunk and fell over.
And you shoot other red Cs that will shoot very delayed projectiles at you.
Well, I think they're kind of flesh colored, aren't they? Because that was unsettling to me. Because I thought they were
flesh in the underwear.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's like I don't know if it's Atari had a lot to say about hygiene. Maybe this was like the pubic lice destroyer. I don't know.
But then we were like, okay, this can't be it. So then we did our. Get on the computer, did some research.
We did our obligatory 5 minutes of research.
It's like, oh, the actual game is much different and way better.
They had a Atari 5200 release as well. It looks a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
A lot better. I didn't play it. I may or may not have played the arcade game on a friend's computer who was maybe emulating it. It was unplayable. Because the arcade cabinet had a dial, like an old television dial, you know, that rotates all the way around and it rotates back and forth. And that's how you controlled the ship. In the real game, in the arcade game, it's not a pair of underwear. It's not a gigantic pair of blue underwear on the screen, believe it or not.
What? What?
It kind of looks like a pie graph for the first stage. And you take the dial. And then as you turn the dial, your ship goes around the perimeter of the pie graph. And shit comes out of the middle of the pie graph, out to the sides, and you got to stop it before it gets out of the pie graph. Is pie graph, pie chart, pie graph, pie chart? You correct me if I was sounding like an asshole,
it's
right?
It's grad graph, yeah.
I go back and forth on that. It's a pizza. Let's just say it's a pizza.
There you go.
It's a pizza.
Three-dimensional pizza.
So you stop all the things from coming out of the pizza, and then it changes into a plus sign.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, each stage is a different shape. Same shit. It's the same principle. Shit's in the middle, tries to get out. You shoot it before it gets out, you get to the next stage.
Yeah, because I couldn't emulate it, so the prototype was all I got to play. So I looked at plenty of videos and things like that. So I apologize, Tadpog Nation. We tried. We played the prototype. We tried to get it. We couldn't.
You want to talk more about the prototype?
No, I feel like I've said everything about the prototype I can say.
The stages didn't change in the prototype.
No, not at all.
It's just the underwear the whole time.
Yeah, a few more enemies.
There's that one that kind of looks...
The become squares.
Uh-huh.
And there's some squares. They're lightning bolts eventually.
There's a thing that kind of looks like... Do you remember Barrel of Monkeys? Do you remember that game?
Yeah.
The red... I had red ones. I don't know if they're a different color. There's something that kind of looks like that spins around and comes at you. So that's a thing.
Yeah. So the prototype was bad. The actual game, especially for its time, looked really good and creative and inventive. Like, it reminded me of Geometry Wars a little bit.
Yeah, and Space Giraffe. I don't know if you ever played that one.
Nope.
Like some of these games.
You could have just made that up.
I did.
Space Giraffe? Yeah, Space Giraffe.
It's the...
Interstellar Koala. Okay. Yeah.
It's the exclusive arcade game of the Spearmint Rhino.
Oh, man, that'd be good. Branch off into that exclusive, like, good arcade games that you have to go to the strip club to buy and play them.
The 5200 port looked pretty good.
Yeah, it did.
I mean, it looked a lot closer to the arcade game than the 2600 mm-hmm. version.
Was there a record of this game giving like epileptic seizures to anybody? Because that was like, there's a lot of flashing lights and changing colors all very rapidly and stuff coming out at you and flashing. Like, it was, I'd imagine like if I was little and played this on a big arcade, I would have gotten sick.
Yeah. Well, TVs are smaller then.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like...
Boys were smaller, TVs were smaller. It's just a smaller world in general.
It was a simpler time. Pepperidge Farm remembers when everything was smaller.
Thank for the whole damn world that ate a giant mushroom.
I find it really hard to believe that... People always say that people were smaller like 100 years ago. And I guess... Okay, I guess. Right? I don't know. That's weird to me. Like... 100 years of time would be enough time for us to, like, adaptively get bigger as a species.
Well, you only want to fuck tall people.
Well, I mean, but that's just me. That's just me. What about everyone else?
Because what was, like, I remember a study about Abraham Lincoln because he was considered, like, a giant back in the day. But he was only, like...
4'3".
4'3". Like, he was over 6 feet tall, but the average height of a man back then was, like, 5'4". As opposed to now, it's like 5'9".
That blows my mind. Tony, why did this happen?
We're getting taller and losing our hair. We're becoming closer and closer to like the weird aliens that we see on TV. Like we're just approaching that.
Have you heard the theory that the aliens, the gray aliens, are us from the future? Have you heard that before?
Mm-mm.
Probably true.
Probably true.
This game was meant to be a 3D remake of Space Invaders when it was first developed.
I can very much see that.
They decided that wasn't a good idea and made it Tempest instead. They altered it to not be a Space Invaders remake.
So I see where this has a place in Ready Player One. But I'm ready for you. Once you get to it, it'll be better, I guess.
Knowing
that you had the dial makes a lot more sense to me because in the book he plays the arcade. Like that's the important, a very certain version of the arcade. Like they go into like serial codes. Like he plays a very specific version of the arcade.
Interesting.
So
I can't wait. I've been loving the book. Spoilers for whenever we talk about the book. So I'm really excited to hear about Tempest.
Mm-hmm. Have you gotten to Pac-Man yet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I thought you'd really like the Pac-Man.
Oh, yeah. He does. Oh, yeah. The Pac-Man stuff was great.
No.
Pac-Man stuff was great. Everything's been great. Well, there we go. We just did the Ready Player One episode.
Yep. So, really,
we're sorry. I'm sorry. That's Tempest.
Yep.
It's incredibly difficult to talk about a game that came out in 81.
And that you can't really play unless you have one of the arcades or have a later version of the Atari that actually has the cart, which we couldn't get our hands on.
I mean, better judgment would have said, just skip this game. But that's not how
we
roll.
Didn't know that until we'd already said we're going to do Tempest. Because I looked on the back of that Atari emulator and we're like, okay, yeah, we can do Tempest.
It's right here.
Let's talk about it and plan for it.
Mm-hmm. Fuck it.
Measure twice, cut once.
Fuck it. You know what? You know what's better than Tempest?
What?
Shitload of calls we're going to do.
Yeah.
But before we do that, Tyler,
yeah,
got a very important question for you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you were to give this game some kind of beard,
mm-hmm.
what kind of beard would it be? Would it be an ill-informed, rarely played with beard?
It would be a beard that I sort of imagined to be real.
Okay.
Which is the beard of Caliban. From Shakespeare's The Tempest.
I am an uncultured fuck who has never read nor seen the play Tempest. The Taliban is in it?
The Taliban. Shakespeare was way ahead of his time.
Wow.
It was Caliban.
Caliban. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. What was Caliban had a beard?
I like to imagine he did. Like he's described as like sort of a monstrosity. So I imagine monstrosities... pretty much have beards.
Well, you have a beard, Tyler. You don't consider yourself a monstrosity, do you?
I'm a monstrosity.
I mean, you're not opening up to us right now, are you? You're not a monstrosity.
A monstrosity of sexuality, Dave.
All right. I'm not going to argue
that. Make that on a t-shirt and I'll wear it. Yeah. Monstrosity of sexuality.
I would say you're more of a male.
That's strong. How I'll introduce myself when I go to church with Meg. This is the Reverend Mother Meg and her monstrosity of sexuality.
We need to make you up a calling card. That just says Tyler Holland, monstrosity of sexuality, and then your phone number.
Chef and podcaster.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give this game a pair of glasses, what kind of glasses would you give it?
I would give it the glasses of Prospero.
Also don't know who that is.
Also a character from The Tempest.
Oh, that makes sense. I'm so glad I wasn't like, uh-huh. Okay. Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. Oh, man. Prospero's glasses.
Oh, Prospero.
That's a deep cut.
Oh, shit.
Jacob will be either outraged or like, oh, okay.
Oh, that I'm not familiar with?
No, just that we brought up the Tempest, period. Oh. And two of the characters.
I think he'll be pretty indifferent.
Yeah. He'll either be excited, disgusted, or indifferent.
He'll be like,
My money is on one of those three.
He'll be like, well, at least I'll talk about fat chicks.
Yep. Or the Holocaust.
What kind of glasses would you give it? Prospero's glasses?
Yeah, that's just glasses. It. That's it.
He wears glasses?
Probably.
All right.
Cool. I don't know, man. We're sorry, listeners. We couldn't really play the game, but it looked fun.
This is actually a prototype episode. If you guys,
that's the one we actually did. Yeah.
We've been goofing with you the whole time. This is a prototype episode. If you like this a lot, then what we're going to do is just stop talking about games and we're just going to talk about relationship advice.
Yep.
So let us know what you think.
And Shakespeare plays.
And Shakespeare. Now, one of us kind of knows.
Then one of us read in high school.
Do you have any achievements for this game, Tyler?
No.
Okay. All right, moving on. I got one that's called Tempest in a Teacup.
Oh, nice. And I really like that.
And in order to unlock Tempest in a Teacup, play it on a small television. You play it on Abraham Lincoln's television. Because they were smaller back then.
Smaller they were. They really, really were. Played on that small TV that broadcast the Lincoln-Douglas debates.
You want to know how much this game is on Amazon?
Sure.
No one knows.
Can't find it.
This is great. We're doing really good on this one.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Anybody call us for the last time?
No. For the last time. We're shutting our number down. We might not have a website anymore. The content police is going to take our website away.
I'm going to have to let... This episode is going to be titled Ready Player One Series Tempest Prototype Episode.
All right. I love it. Or just Prototype Episode. That would be cool, wouldn't it? Like there's no episode number or anything. There's no episode number or game title, anything. It just says Prototype Episode. And the art in the post is just a black square. And then the show notes are all in Aramaic.
Man, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
They'll really think that we planned this.
Well, I'll record myself on YouTube reading The Tempest, and that's the only show note link.
Man, we should have done that instead of this episode. That's probably more useful.
Somebody have brought back how they missed Tadpog Theater, so we could actually do Tadpog Theater.
Oh, shit. We got a text message, Tyler. Mm-hmm. We got a text message from 515. That says, hey, Tadpog, what was the story or joke or whatever that caused you to use the warning at the beginnings and to apologize to everyone? It keeps bugging me, and I really want to know. Colon, open parentheses. It's a frowny face, but I'm going to count it as a colon. It's a true Tadpog text message because there's a colon in there. Do we want to talk about that?
We can. I talked about it on the Final Fantasy Football group. I think it was the episode before Kirby's Avalanche. We addressed it, but it was the episode before. I can't remember exactly which one.
Because, yeah, we had a long talk about it on the drive back from Dragon Con, which is right before Kirby's Avalanche. We said something that a personal friend.
I said something.
Well, something was said on the show that upset a personal friend. Mm-hmm. And that's the big reason. We don't like to upset our personal mm-hmm. friends. Strangers on the internet, that's fine. That's one thing. Yeah, yeah. But a personal friend, maybe not so much. And then it was just kind of one of those things where it's like, well, our show is a little
We didn't know where it was going to go.
Yeah.
Like we could see where it could potentially lose listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So like we cut out that part on the episode. And then I very quickly like said, going to take a break for a second on the Facebook group. Which then that inflamed the situation further. Yeah. Of course, we didn't even miss an episode.
Right.
Then we just...
That was a stressful day for me.
Yeah. I feel bad about I should have been like, hey, Dave, I'm going to post this. As opposed to like, me and Dave quitting for a little bit.
Oh, I saw it. And I was like, well, what the fuck is going on?
It was there's way more to it than how we're saying. We're giving the brief version. But it was a dramatic kerfuffle. Listen to Kirby's Avalanche again if you want to know a little bit more about it.
But, yeah, boost those numbers.
Yeah.
And it didn't help that I was giving you shit because, like, I didn't know that you were legitimately, like, I was at work and you sent me a text message about this, about what you said, being concerned about it. And it's a text message, so it's not conveying any kind of tone or anything like that. So I was kind of giving you shit back because I was like, well, yeah, dude, you did say some pretty horrible shit. And it's like a complete sarcasm. And I think, I'm fairly certain that didn't transfer. I'm fairly certain that you took it at face value because, yeah, the next thing I saw was a post on Facebook that's like, we're taking a break. And I was like, I think everything's going to be okay. So we didn't really answer your question. Sorry. Honestly, I kind of still think that it was not that bad. But
yeah, it was just a friend overreacted, tried to start some shit, and then I overreacted trying to recover, and then basically we all just had to be like, just fucking forget
fuck
about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
And then we just put the disclaimer at the beginning. Yep. Just so people know, hey, it's we're blue, so we might say some stuff.
I like the disclaimer.
Yeah.
I do. I like the disclaimer a lot because if we didn't have it, I'd probably be a lot more guarded on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I already feel like I still self-censor, believe it or not, on the mics. But if we didn't have that disclaimer after what happened, I probably would be even more guarded.
Yeah.
We got another message from 515 that says, hey, Tadpog, did you guys ever play Mega Man 64? I have not.
Nope.
And I think this text message was delivered on October 19th. So we must have just talked about Mega Man X. No, I haven't. Is it good?
I'm down. Because we talked about doing N64 after SNES, and I'm down for playing it then because, you know, you and I pretty much just missed.
Yeah, we missed that console completely because I went straight from Super Nintendo to PlayStation.
Yep.
Like, I made that jump, and honestly, I was thinking about it the other day. It's because of Final Fantasy. Like, that's what...
Final Fantasy VII is why I got a PlayStation.
When Square was like, well, we're kind of done producing games for Nintendo for a bit, I was like, well... All right, what console am I going to buy next? Where are you going? Like, Square dictated the console that I was going to buy.
Yeah, because I helped. I was part of the revolution that dethroned Nintendo. Because Nintendo, you know, they buried Sega, they buried Atari, but it was their own, like, the SNES disk drive. Nintendo, you know, holds on one generation too late to old technology, generally.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to let it go. So they didn't want to do it with this. So the people that made the disk drive were like, we feel like we've got something. Let's go to Sony. The Super Nintendo disk drive became the Sony PlayStation, and Nintendo dug their own grave. Because if they hadn't done that, we might not...
They're not dead yet.
Well, you're right. They're not dead, but they're not on top. They're not like clearly number one.
Right.
They're still a competitor, but they're not like dominant like they were. Because that, you know, spawned PlayStation, which I feel like that...
Definitely prodded Microsoft.
Brought Microsoft in. So now it's those two, with Nintendo being the hipster equivalent for video games now. Which, and also, I mean, I guess then I'm also talking out of my ass because the only next-gen console I have is a Wii U. So
current gen now. We can call it current gen. Yeah. I don't own a single current gen console unless you count a 3DS or my PC.
I feel like, God, that 3DS and the Vita I'm enjoying more than any... You know, main console.
It's actually, if we weren't doing the show where we did IGN's list, I might own a current gen console.
Yeah.
But like, because we do this, If I had one, I don't think I could play anything.
Yeah, just like set those games like, up there. I'll get to you guys whenever we're done with the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I'll get to you when this console is $75. We got a text message from 615, I believe this is Archivist Korn, who says the first Danganronpa game was adapted into an anime. It's on Hulu Plus.
I recently saw that.
Yeah, have you watched it?
I have not. I've been watching the Persona 4 anime, which I really, really enjoy. But after I'm done with Persona 4, I'm absolutely going to watch Danganronpa.
He says that I haven't watched it, but it might be a good way to see the plot progress if you don't have a Vita.
That's true.
So maybe I'll do that instead of playing it.
Yeah. I just like to play it.
Or maybe I'll just watch an episode and be like, gauge whether or not I think it's too weird. Yeah,
do I want to try this? Right. That's fair.
All right. We got a text message from 270. That's our area code. They say, Tyler and Dave, ; thank you. New listener to the show, and I'm completely hooked. Well, you were until you heard the prototype episode. Sorry about that. They say, I enjoyed today's episode. I don't want to put any blame on this person. They're not talking about this episode. Mm-hmm. This text message was sent October 20th, so probably Mega Man X. Mm-hmm. Hearing what you guys are currently playing. Oh, okay. It was that episode.
Okay. They got to hear me go on about Danganronpa.
Yeah. I'm wondering if Tyler has played Final Fantasy 14.
Nope. I have not.
I wish you would. If you got into Final Fantasy, I kind of wish you would. Like, I don't want to see your life death spiral. Like, it might if you played Final Fantasy 14.
Because it's just like, man, I'm finally clean from MMOs. So, I mean, it would take something. I've said it before. I think I could only play another MMO if it were a Fallout MMO. Other than that, like a straight up legit current Fallout 3 New Vegas type system. Uh-huh. And that I would have to play. Other than that, I just can't see myself going back.
I used to think that that might be a possibility, and it might still be like that. Something like that might actually happen for Fallout. But I feel like after the kind of flop that the Elder Scrolls MMO was, I feel like that gave the shot of a Fallout MMO. Like, I think a couple people were probably like, maybe we wouldn't want to do that.
The Elder Scrolls is just like, I mean, I was glad they did it, but at the same time, it's like a lot of MMOs fit in that vein.
Like the fantasy?
Yeah. Why not do something different and have like, that way you can include the whole mythos of the Fallout series and have like a United States. And I think that would have been amazing and different. But they did, you know, fantasy, which you, World of Warcraft owns fantasy. Why? I don't know why they even thought they could compete, but.
I played Final Fantasy 14 with Nikki. And then we kind of both stopped playing. I played a little bit after her, but I think my thing with MMOs now is like, I don't want to play an MMO that none of my friends are playing. You know what I mean? It's like if I don't know anybody, well, let me rephrase that. Because even if I know somebody casually, I need a friend. I need a close friend to play an MMO with me. Otherwise, I'm not interested. Because to be honest, I'm not super great at like making friends in an MMO. Because usually I just log in and do my shit and then log out. I'm not like super social butterfly MMO player. Like when I get, like even when I'm in a guild in WoW or something, it's just kind of like, well, I mean, these are people who also want to do things and I want to do things. So let's do things together. I'm not like, I've never been like, oh man, I'm going to make some friends online. Mm-hmm. I know people play it like that and that's totally cool. That's just, I can't do that. It's just not part of me.
I guess also maybe like what kind of the trope of like the old person who's just like, I've buried too many friends. I don't want to make any more. Like I got very attached to my Link channel in Final Fantasy XI and those people. And it's like, now I don't know how to keep in contact. I don't talk to any of them. I don't know how to talk to them. I miss talking to them.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that again.
Yeah, and that might honestly have a lot to do with it because, I mean, I had a close friend on Final Fantasy XI as well, and it's like I wonder about that person sometimes because like they just quit the game abruptly. They told me they were leaving and didn't give me the Empress Hairpin and then left. Wintermilk, if you're listening,
I gave you call one of those. In. I gave you. I'll let you wear mine though.
That's true. So I don't know. But at the same time, I really want to play an MMO again because of Ready Player One. We'll see.
Yeah.
They say, if so, what are your thoughts on it? I thought Final Fantasy XIV was really cool.
Yeah.
And I would still be playing it if I knew somebody who played it.
There were 48 hours in one day.
Kind of. I say kind of because I know.
If you surgically have my sleep removed, I would play an MMO.
Because I think Miller may still have an account, but like I include Miller as a friend, but I exclude him from the friends who play MMOs. Because it's like Miller plays all the MMOs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like because he plays all the MMOs, I can't like say, oh, well, Miller plays it, so I'll play it with him. Do you know what I mean? Because yeah. He's got it all covered.
He plays all of them and he jumps around from all of them. So yeah, it's like, I don't know how he does it.
I don't know either. 270 also says, that game is my current addiction. Already gave you guys a 5-star rating on iTunes. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
I would do it again if I could. Keep at it, guys. And that is Brandon in Madisonville. Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you.
Very much. Sorry about the prototype episode. We got a text message from 614 that says, if the TMNT, this person knows us, were cast as the Golden Girls, who would be who and why? Signed, TMN Doug. That's a really good question. I think we should answer it together.
Okay, who do you think would be Leonardo? You answer at the same time, countdown?
Let's talk it out.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I think everyone is Michelangelo is going to be Blanche, right?
I think Rose.
Rose? Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. Ooh, man, we're already.
Because Rose is kind of the slow one, you know, and then Michelangelo's kind of the slow one, but they're fun and good-hearted.
Who would Blanche be then? Because I think
Sophia's Raphael.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Estelle Getty is Raphael.
Yeah.
Like in the next Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies. That's been
announced. Did you know she was in the costume for Raphael in the first movie?
Did you know that Raphael in the first movie comes out of the movie Critters because Estelle Getty loves Critters. Famously loves Critters. It was in B. Arthur's biography. She mentioned it. So we got Raphael. Mm-hmm. That's 100% agreement.
I feel like Dorothy is Leonardo.
Yeah, I think Dorothy's Leonardo as well. I see. I kind of think Michelangelo's a slut.
Yeah,
see, that's where too. I get in on that.
See, but Rose as Donatello doesn't make sense because
Rose as Donatello does not make sense. You're right.
So, but Blanche as Donatello doesn't make sense.
Blanche
as
Donatello, yeah.
I guess April O'Neil is Blanche because she's just this human hanging out with a bunch of guys all the time. That's.
Are you saying that Blanche is the only human Golden Girls?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. I can see it.
So I guess Donatello does not really fit into the Golden Girls. Well, okay.
Uh-oh.
Donatello.
Your eyes just lit up like a slot machine.
It kind of hit me as like, who would be? And it is Dorothy's first husband, Stan.
Yes.
Because Stan is always like coming in with inventions and get rich quick schemes.
Okay.
So Stan is Donatello.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Fair. So let's cast the other. Let's cast the two remaining Golden Girls then.
Okay, so that I think Rose is Michelangelo.
Okay, I'll agree with that. As long as we do have a Donatello now, Stan, I think that's good. So we've got
April O'Neil is Blanche.
Okay, all right.
Unless Casey Jones is Blanche.
I like that better. I think Golden Girls would have been a lot better if Blanche was in a hockey mask the entire time. And no one said anything about it the entire run of the show.
Every time all the girls have a problem, Blanche like traps them in a dumpster and turns the lever. Oops.
And Sophia's like, damn. Who would be Splinter? That's bugging me.
Ooh. Maybe
the guy Rose, from Empty Nest?
Rose. Yeah, Harry. Harry from Empty Nest is Splinter.
I'm glad you remembered his name. Doctor? I couldn't remember his name.
Nice. There we go.
All right, we did it. I hope you're happy, 614. That was a good question. Perfect for the prototype episode. We got a text message from 321. This will date us a little bit. It says, so you guys are doing Secret of Mana next? Well, I mean, we did it. Sorry, we didn't get this text message before then. Hope you didn't give up on us. If you were able to substitute any of the three main characters for any other Square or Square Enix character, who would you pick? I feel like we can't answer this one together. This has got to be an individual preference, right?
So what other Square characters do I want to see in like an action-y type game?
I definitely want to see Frog.
Okay.
So I'm going to say Frog definitely for like my three-person Secret of Mana party.
I think Sabin would be interesting trying to do Blitz in like an active.
I think that would be cool. Or Mash.
Mash. Mash, Bash, and Gash. I hate to go back to Chrono Trigger, but I think Magus would be interesting.
I think Magus would be interesting too. See, that's what I kind of feel like. I would totally play a Chrono Trigger action RPG. Like, you know, if someone like hacked Chrono Trigger so that it's action RPG instead of an RPG and they kept everything exactly the same, I would totally play through that. I don't think it would be better, but I would play through it. I think that would be fun.
I agree. I think that would be fun too.
Anyone from Final Fantasy VII? Would you choose anyone from there? Anyone from Final Fantasy IV? I know you're a big Kane guy.
Yeah, I don't feel like Kane jumping, though, would translate well to an action RPG.
Maybe it does a thing where
maybe
when
Edge,
you jump, it like gives you a reticule or something that like
you could try to aim where you land.
Yeah, maybe.
That might be interesting.
That could be kind of fun.
This is going to be overpowered, but
General Leo.
General, okay. that wasn't where I was thinking, but General Leo would be good. I think Orlando from Tactics would be fun.
Oh, yeah.
That way then you're aiming all the different, like you press a different button for the different Holy Sword technique that you're trying to aim.
I loved Mog. Mog was one of my favorite characters. I think
inputting buttons to do dances. For
different effects. Yeah. Or it turns into like a little rhythm section that's done totally better than the fucking Boshi race.
Where's Mario?
Yeah, there's Mario or Mallow.
Mallow and Geno. Okay. It's a lot of good options.
Yeah, that's good options. Not a lot of new ones. We stuck pretty classic on that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like a little more recent. But no, I don't think I'd include any like Lulu or anything like that.
Yeah, I haven't really loved anything Square's done in a while. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll end it on a bummer.
Yeah.
Got a text message from 580. He says, small intestines, colon, sphincter, bloody diarrhea.
Okay.
Now,
where's your duodenum, 580?
It's important to notice that he didn't spell colon out. He used the typographic symbol. So that's pretty clever. Here is an actual voicemail. Are you ready to hear another human's voice?
Oh, man. Because I haven't in so long, Dave.
I'm a robot. You constructed out of Pringles cans.
You're my Hal. You're just a red light on the other side of the table.
John Sullivan calling. It's been a long time since I've called.
Mm-hmm.
It has been.
Just listened to the Earthbound episode. It got me thinking. I was wondering if Tyler, how fast do you think you could beat Earthbound? Like if you've ever tried to speedrun it. And then I just wanted to see if there's any games that you guys enjoy. Just sitting down to, you know, memorize the patterns and you just like to speedrun it and play it really fast. Or if you don't, what games do you really like to sit down and play for the story? You know, like to take your sweet time with. So love the show, you guys. Been listening. I'm still listening, still loving it, and keep doing what you're doing. Glad to hear that you're getting all the iTunes reviews and more listeners are tuning in. So pretty sure you're going to be up at the top not too far from now. Thanks, guys. Keep it up. Bye.
Thanks for calling. If our prototype episode takes off like we expect it to, we're definitely going to be at the top.
Thank you, Color Mage John Sullivan.
Color Mage John Sullivan, whom I still have his art that he sent, and I'm not giving it to anybody. I mean, it would just make the best Tadpog prize. I'm not sharing it.
You win the Tadpog prize. We did a drawing and I won.
Oh, look, so. Check that out.
I bet I could beat Earthbound in 12 hours, but I would.
Good God, that's fast.
But
man,
I wouldn't want to do that. It's not a game like I want to rush through. Anytime I play it, I really like the next time I play it, I want to do a 100% completion run because I've never done it. It's on my video game bucket list is to have a 100% on Earthbound.
So would Earthbound fall into the category of his second question is what game do you take your sweet time with and enjoy the story?
Yeah, absolutely Earthbound. A game I like to speed run, and I've mentioned it before on the show, like Link to the Past. I used to speed run and beat that every single day during the summer.
When Super Punch-Out, I know you used to do that a lot with,
too. Yeah, that is the only game where I would really time myself and try to get better. I've never been a big speed run guy.
Yeah. I really had never been a big speedrun guy either, except for Super Mario Brothers 2.
Yeah.
When you pulled out that old ass Nintendo Power,
where Sean Baby was like interviewing some guy, yeah,
and the guy was boasting that he could beat Super Mario Brothers 2 in 24 minutes, and I was like, I could do that.
I remember at the apartment where you and Brendan of Axelay fame lived. Mm-hmm. I remember watching you. You stood up the whole time, right in front of the TV, and beat it in like 20 minutes?
It was, I don't know if it was 20. I mean, because I remember being
like. You beat
like,
his time, though.
Yeah, definitely beat his time by at least a minute margin, which I don't even know what the record is. Probably a lot.
8 minutes.
Yeah, it's probably like exactly, like way, way under 24 mm-hmm. minutes. But still, I beat that guy and I was proud. I am ashamed to say that I have been color mage. John Sullivan asks about memorizing patterns. I have actually been playing a lot of Pac-Man. And I have been memorizing patterns. Yep. And it does have to do with Ready Player One, because that whole section on Pac-Man made me want to play Pac-Man and made me want to play Pac-Man well.
Yeah.
So, yep, I've been memorizing Pac-Man patterns.
I mean, I've forever memorized every boxer and Super Punch-Out. Like, I'll never, 20 years from now, I'll be able to sit down and still play that game like I do right now. It's just, it's so ingrained in there.
Muscle memory.
So I guess we should also mention that Color Mage Don Sullivan's project, it's in beta testing Mario Italiano.
His game. That's a big deal.
It's a big deal. It's published on, I believe, iOS and Android.
I think that's right, yeah.
And so hopefully we'll be playing that soon, do a show over it, him come on and do an interview with him about it.
Yes, I think that's going to be a really good episode. Like, I really want to talk to him about what goes into, what is the development process? Mm-hmm. Like, what is that like? Because I have no idea. And it's something I'm really interested in. I don't think it's anything that I could ever do.
Yeah.
And it's certainly not by myself. Like, I'm curious, like, how big his team is. Was it just 100% him? Got a lot of questions.
No.
How are we doing on time? You want another call?
Let's do another one.
All right, fuck it. Prototype episode.
Hey, guys. This is listener Chris. I'm calling with a question. It's a pornography related, not video game related. There's been a lot of porno talk on the show so that seems appropriate.
Somebody gets
totally
us.
Fine with that. I was wondering if you guys, as kids, had any experience with watching scrambled porn on your cable channels. I can remember about 91, our cable system didn't upgrade. We got a whole bunch of new channels, and the most important one was channel 99, which was scrambled porn 24/7. Since it was scrambled, it kind of looked like you took a film negative and put it in the microwave, kind of melty, and the colors were wrong. But if you watched it for like 5 minutes straight, you were guaranteed to get about 10 or 15 seconds of unscrambled porn where you may be able to see a green boob with a gray nipple, which, you know, when you're 12 is plenty good.
Perfect. When you're 12.
So it seems to have been a pretty universal experience for people our age. I met some guys in college from Wisconsin and, you know, talk turned to pornography as it does. And they started telling me their stories about this. In Green Bay where they were at, they had a cable box, and if you put a penny in the channel up button and a penny in the channel down button, they were able to watch their scrambled pornography. They had a great name for it. They called it the Squigs, and that just stuck with me forever. So I was calling to see if you guys had any experiences with the Squigs. I didn't have access to pornography hidden in a creek under a rock, so this is what I had. So anyway, keep up the good work, and I'll be listening. Thanks.
Thank you, listener Chris.
Yes, thank you, listener Chris. I love a good pornography question like that. The Squigs, Tyler, you got any experiences with that?
The Box. It's a channel called The Box, and it was a cable channel. All during the day, they played music videos, and at night, they played softcore pornography. You could watch it fine, the music videos during the day, but then, you know, they cut it off. They had a subscription for the Box nights. So one of my friends had like mixed with this cable box where it would, you know, come in squiggly, and that's where we would jerk off at his house to the squiggly box.
I've never jerked off with a friend. That should have been my intro story.
don't worry, I have jerked off with too many friends, so we even out.
It's like I was sitting here, I was like thinking, like you said that, and I was like, my God, man, how many friends has Tyler jerked off with?
You're the only one that I haven't.
Well, now I feel slighted.
Yes, normally that's how, like, that's the screening process for getting a guest host on. I have to jerk off with them.
I can't wait till we have Taryn on next time. I was fortunate enough to have HBO when I was a kid. We also had Cinemax, which I know my dad got just for the softcore porn that was on there. We had that when I was probably 10. So I got my fix there, but it also like inspired me to seek out the darker shit. So all of my experience with the squigs.
I mean, David Duchovny making his Red Shoe Diaries, was that enough for you?
All my experience with the squigs was kind of just like, this is just scrambled softcore porn. I'm going to go back to the porn that's in the creek.
You weren't in the Southern Baptist Christian household that made it where pornography of any kind was too hard to find.
Yeah, it's weird, I guess, because like this, and this might be the same for everybody. I mean, when I was younger, my parents were a lot more liberal. And as they got older, they got more conservative.
And it's weird because my parents are the opposite.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't imagine like them being okay with their child viewing pornography now. You know, it's just, I mean, it's not
your,
like.
Your sister got no pornography.
Yeah, poor thing. It's not like I flaunted it or anything. It wasn't like I was like, I'm getting out of bed in the middle of the night to watch all this pornography. Yeah. But it was also one of those things where it's like, I mean, my dad caught me a few times and it was like, not a big deal. I mean, it was more like go to bed as opposed to you're grounded for 2 weeks kind of deal. Mm, it was just
like Josh's dad.
Right. <Okay. laughs> So no real experience with the squigs other than finding out that it was all softcore and being very disappointed. Mm. I needed that hard shit.
Yeah.
11-year-old Dave's got to have something to watch. We got another voicemail. We got a bunch of them.
Let's do one more.
This is from 580.
Oh, shit. Forgot I was calling. Hey, Tadpog, it's me. Drunk Kyle here.
Excellent.
I'm on my way home. Just driving back, dropping my kid off to his mother for the weekend. And I was just getting into my thoughts here as, like, what got me into this situation here? The answer is the rhythm method. What do you call a woman who practices the rhythm method? A mother. The rhythm method is the greatest thing that has ever happened to man ever. The only problem with the rhythm method is you've got to stay focused. You got to stay vigilant, and that's just not the case. So
never.
You have 2 weeks out of the month, you're just, you know, pissing your puss in your puss. The greatest thing ever. 1 week out of the month, kind of like a slaughterhouse, but still you get to, you know, do your thing. But that 1 week out of the month when you got to pull out, it's not fair because it's the greatest sex you ever have during that 1 week when she's ovulating. And usually when you're pounding that ass, you only get, what, 3 orgasms out of that, right? But during this 1 week of ovulation, you know, she's like on her 7th orgasm and I'm finally about to do my thing and just so spoiled. I just bury my seed so far up in there that it's never going to see sunlight.
You don't want it
because we go to the clinic shortly afterwards. But that's the problem, is you just got to stay vigilant and pull out during that 1 week of hell. I love you guys so much. Thank you for your show. Can't wait for tomorrow. Sunday.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, 580.
I don't have much experience with the rhythm method because I've always been a bigger fan of birth control.
I had to do condom/rhythm method in high school.
Yeah.
And it's like...
So wait, in conjunction with one another, or you chose to do one or the other?
Both. Sometimes we were super vigilant, and then sometimes, like, if we didn't have one and we just really wanted to, we had to, like...
You didn't have a baby, is
try to figure
mean.
Out counting days and stuff like that. And no, I never, yeah. It was always but I will say, like, now that I am older, like, there was no draw, biological draw in high school to the possibility of getting a girl pregnant. But now I think that, like, older, that biological drive, like, during the ovulation period, like, there's something, like, primally attractive about that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, like,
I'm glad I'm not the only one fits in with the biological mold of man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know much about the rhythm method because it's pretty much just been straight up some form of like actual real birth control or another.
Yeah.
Because I'm just never. Because
it's only like, we're the meth that's supposedly like, even if you do it perfect, it's only like 70% effective, 60 to 70%.
Yeah. And it's like, look, my mom is Catholic. So, and she came from a huge ass family and they were pretty strict about the whole birth control thing.
And
so.
I think that's the only method endorsed by the Catholic Church. Yeah.
And I think that's, I mean, I'm no priest, but I don't even know if they like endorse that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, as far as I know, it's just like, have a bunch of kids, be Catholic.
Nope. Sorry. Your sexual partner wouldn't take birth control 580.
Yeah. What's up with that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Condoms suck. We'll end on that note.
Yeah. Put the IUDs, shots.
Not looking forward to condoms again once baby is born. This whole like not having to worry about getting Nikki pregnant because she's already pregnant has been awesome.
Yeah. Unless she gets double pregnant.
Shit.
I think that's good. That's a good thing to end on.
No, Nikki's going to love that.
Yeah. Well, 580's call is a good one to end on. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find us on iTunes or Stitcher. So don't miss the next episode. We'll be talking about part 2 of Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars. And for next Other Shit Monday, Wally Ammons and Laura Ammons are going to be in town. So we talked about maybe doing a board game special.
Yeah, that was requested.
We bantered around trying to keep it video game themed. So doing the BioShock Infinite board game.
But let's not commit to that in case we run into another Tempest wall.
Yep, that's fair.
Where maybe, let's just say that the BioShock board game accidentally falls in a giant puddle. And we can't play it proficiently.
That's fair.
So let's just cover our bases. Yeah.
That might be it. It might be Tempest again. I don't know.
It might be Prototype Episode 2. Prototype Beta.
You know what we like, listener? We like 5-star reviews. They help us out a lot. We're at 84 right now. I just really want 16 more to get to 100. That made me feel so good. Made me feel very good about myself.
Yeah.
In the program. I want to see 100.
So, I could just say you're a handsome boy. That make you feel good?
I mean, a little bit.
No, but not as much as 100 reviews.
I mean, you already love me, so I mean. Well,
I mean, I love you.
If a stranger walked up and said I was a handsome boy, I don't know. There's something about that.
Any stranger?
Any stranger. Any stranger. The stranger, the better. But we try to incentivize you by letting that be how you can control the show a little bit. So there's a game you want us to play. There's a guest host you want for any certain episode. If you're unwise enough to have that be your emergency contact or as an alibi that won't stand up in court, you can try that too.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the first two are where you want to be at.
Probably.
So a game you want to play, a guest host, put that in your 5-star review. And we promise that we will get to that eventually.
Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We're going to be throwing more friends under the bus that maybe lied about a bonfire. Yes, Josh, I know it's you. It's cool. Nicole will hear this long before you. You may hear this like a year down the road, or Nicole may say something like, hey, they talked about you on the episode, and you'll listen to the intro, in which case you're not hearing this right now. So this is the perfect opportunity. We can say anything about Josh we want, but we're not gonna, because we're your friend. Mm-hmm. Remember that. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes are. That's where all the secrets are going to be posted in Aramaic, and Tyler's going to have his wonderful performance.
I could be a portrayal of Caliban.
Fuck it. It's a portrayal of Caliban.
My biopic.
And I'll be I can't remember that guy's name. Perforius.
Prospero.
Prospero. Yeah, that doesn't sound made up.
Perforatorio.
You can also find us on Facebook. We are at facebook.com/tadpog. There are a lot of cool people on there, and they are doing a lot of cool shit. Tyler will normally post the episode there, and that's a great place to leave comments. I have not been active on there. I apologize. I'll try. I'll really make an effort. Well, maybe not. You can also find us on Twitter. We are at tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, I realize. Thank you for hanging in there. And thank you for everybody who's retweeting and tweeting at us. Chandra, we don't have a title for you yet. We haven't forgotten. But I wanted to say thank you.
Well, we talked about one.
Well, we talked about a few. Which one are you thinking about?
Aztec goddess, Aztec queen.
Aztec goddess queen. Clearly, we haven't landed on anything. Yeah. How's that suit you?
Yeah.
Let us know.
We thought about going more Aztec with it. Let us know if you like that or not.
We don't know why. I honestly don't know why. Thank you for tweeting at me the dick cozy that you had knitted for somebody because, Tyler, she does not, she under no circumstances does she want me to wear the beard that she knitted for Kenna on my gooter. She made that very clear and said that she had knitted a dick koozie before. And I replied, is that a thing? And she proved it to me. Well, that's a thing. And let me tell you a little story about that. I was at work today and I was on Twitter and I was like, what the fuck is this? What's this dick koozie? And like, I clicked on the photograph at work. I've got a very big iMac. Like the screen is very big. When I sit at my desk, something happens in the top left corner. I have to turn my head and like look at it. So it's like I can't take the whole screen in just all at once. So I click on this dick koozie pic, and it goes up full screen on my monitor, and my computer fucking freezes. It freezes. And for
too much dick for that iMac to handle.
And for a moment, I'm like, I'm going to have to set this computer on fire. Because like I'm hitting like, I'm like trying to like close it like frantically. And I'm like, oh shit. And then like, I swear, like my office is sandwiched in between the owner, the owner's office, and my boss's office. So it's like at any given moment, one of them may just like pop into my office and be like, oh, hey, what's, you're looking at like genitalia wardrobe? What's going on? So I just had a little freak out moment and then finally remembered, oh, I can just turn this fucker off. So I just turned the computer off and then turned it back on and did not get back on Twitter. So thanks, Chandra. We'll come up with something. Let us know.
See, I want her and Nicole to make an Etsy shop together, and it's got a complete juxtaposition because Nicole does Sean Miller had named this old rugged cross stitch, and she does Christian related cross stitching on an Etsy store, and then so but sharing the same space with Chandra who does erotic knitting.
Man, that's got a nice ring to it. Yeah. Erotic knitting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with erotic cross stitch. Let's do both. I like the juxtaposition idea, but I really feel like if we go full hilt with erotic crafts, I think that's great.
Okay, erotic crafts.
Yeah, eroticcrafts.com. Probably taken. Probably. You can call us if you want. We love it, obviously, because when we do prototype episodes, we can just put all our money on calls, and it somehow works out. Feel free to call us at 270-883-2555 or send us a text if you like it when I read it. If you don't like it when I read it, call.
Yeah.
Keep it under 3 minutes if possible. Obviously, love Golden Girls questions. Mm-hmm. We love Ninja Turtles questions. And we love video game questions.
And pornography questions.
Pretty much anything.
Yeah.
Pretty much anything.
Rhythm method questions.
Food questions. Mm-hmm. We can do that. Whatever you guys are into talking about.
That's all I got,
man. Our intro song is Moves by Sycamore Drive. Mm-hmm. A link to that track can be found in the show notes at tadpog.com.
So until next time, we gotta do Josh.
Okay.
Gotta do Josh.
Josh two counties away?
Sounding like he's lying.
Okay. Ooh, okay, that's going to be tough. Okay. You do like he's lying, and I'll do it like he's two counties away.
Okay. So until next time, Tropical Capricorn. All right.
Yeah, it's good. No, that was a perfect ending to this episode.
Yep. The monstrosity of sexuality, Dave. Make that on a t-shirt and I'll wear it. Yeah. Monstrosity of sexuality.